Time for another Doc Talk here on Q92 on this Friday morning. And as always, we go over to Johns Memorial Health Services. And this morning, we're going to visit with Dr. Eric Shellstead. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
How'd your Thanksgiving go?
You know, it was pretty good. It was didn't get together with family and do up a big feast like we usually do because of the situation. So it was pretty quiet.
Yep. Yeah, we did. I did the same thing. So, and I think a lot of families did. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, I know what we're going to talk about this morning.
Yeah.
COVID.
It's kind of the topic right now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now we're seeing an absolute ton of cases. Lacaparra County and southwest Minnesota in general has the highest positive testing rate in Minnesota. And when they talk about exponential growth where, you know, the rate just keeps going up and up and up, we're certainly in that. So right now, as of today, we've got into kind of the mid 120, 130 range of active cases. And the thing to remember when, you know, the state reports out these numbers of active cases, those are only the people that were tested. And there's kind of four groups of people that are walking around with COVID, and it's or hopefully not walking around with it, but people that have it. There's those that are sick and get tested, and there's people that are sick and don't get tested for whatever reason, and I think there's a fair number of them in the community. There's people who are infected and contagious, but they haven't gotten any symptoms yet, so they can still spread it. And then there's about 20 to 40% of the people who get COVID never have a symptom, and yet they can still be contagious. And so the key to remember is anybody you meet on the street or talking to in the grocery store could have COVID. And that brings me to, you know, my usual thing that I say is to really plead for people to wear masks. It's the best thing we've got to prevent the spread. And better, you know, they've proven now that it both prevents the person or decreases the chance that the person wearing the mask can get sick, and it also keeps them from spreading it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever it takes to get people to wear a mask, if you're not wearing it to protect yourself, wear it to protect your friends and family. And, you know, quick story, I had a patient here who's son had COVID. He didn't have any symptoms. He gave it to his dad, and his dad ended up passing away of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
he was doing the right thing, staying at home. But the son that's how it can happen so mm-hmm. quickly. And if it's not for any of those reasons, you know, wear a mask to keep the schools open, to keep the restaurants open, to keep the bars open and the bowling alleys. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's active spread through the community, that's what the numbers they're looking at for when they do things like closing the bars and the schools and the bowling alleys and whatnot.
Right.
So if it's not to protect yourself or your loved ones, do it to keep the bars and the restaurants open, whatever it takes.
Right. Let's talk about masks, different types of masks. I had a discussion with some people about this the other day. There's some people have a paper mask. Some people have homemade cloth masks. What would you suggest?
Well, the kind of commercially available, you know, surgical masks, they probably maybe work the best because of the material they're made out of, and they're disposable, so you're not wearing them out. If you're going to wear or make a homemade mask, make sure it's got three plies of fabric in them. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, the thing just in what that's preventing spread is, you know, when you talk or cough or sneeze, you a bunch of little tiny droplets, you fly out of your nose and mouth, and
mm-hmm.
it's mainly to catch those things. And so I wear surgical masks because that's what I have, and there's, you know, the fabric mask, you know, can be effective, but make sure they're three-ply and
wear it over your nose, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's frustrating to see people, without masks out on public, but, you know, when it's not covering their nose, it's slightly helpful, but it's really, you're still breathing in the same air that the next person is breathing, and that's where you catch it. So
okay.
The key is to wear, you know, wear it over your nose. And if you wear glasses, you know, my suggestion is to get that mask high up on your nose and set your glasses on the mask, and they won't fog up quite as much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, so wear your mask. Number one.
That's number one.
What would number two be?
All the other what's that?
What would number two be?
You know, keep your distance from other people, especially if they're not wearing a mask or you're not wearing a mask. And the main spread that's going around Minnesota right now, the state thinks, is small gatherings amongst family and friends, you know, getting together, sitting in the same room, watching a football game or things like that. So as much as you can, try to avoid those situations, especially indoors. Stay away from big groups of people because it can really spread. Like, you know, you hear super spreader events, and even if you're outdoors, you can, you know, everybody's breathing the same air, and if one person's sick, the next thing you know, they can get a whole bunch of other people sick, and then it just spreads from there. So
it is pretty prevalent around our Q92 listening area right now, as you mentioned. And are the hospitals full, doctor, or?
Well, we were yesterday. We have expanded our capabilities here as much as we can, and we have retrofitted a few rooms that are safer to have COVID patients in. And it's really the key thing right now is you know, a lot of the big health systems, the Avera's and St. Cloud and the cities, a lot of those beds are full, so we're having to keep more COVID patients here than we had originally planned. And as that goes on, it really taxes our system. You know, staff gets sick, either they catch it here or they, elsewhere, or they're quarantined because of an exposure. So just like everywhere else, we're short of beds, and we get short of staff at times depending on things. And you know, another motivator for just the people of the community to do the things to slow the spread and wear masks, avoid, is really to keep us from getting overrun here. When the hospital is full, it's full. And say if somebody comes in with, you know, an appendicitis or something else that normally we'd admit them to the hospital, our ER is always open. We never turn anybody away. But if somebody needs to be admitted to the hospital and we're full, that means we're transferring them somewhere, and that might be the cities, you know.
Right.
So just another reason to try to slow the spread so we don't get overrun and the other local area hospitals don't get overrun.
That's right. As far as Lac Parle County goes, the numbers are on the rise, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. They are, you know, it took about, to get the first 100 cases in Lac Parle County, took about 7.5 months. The second 100 cases took 4 weeks, and then the last 100 cases took 12 days. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, you know, the growth of the number of patients that at least are coming in and getting tested and getting counted, it's just going up very, very fast. Mm-hmm. It's our testing supplies have been somewhat limited, and we're doing what we can with all that. At least to the quick test, we're not really offering that to the public anymore because we've just gone through our supplies.
So, right. Yeah, I was going to ask you that question about how can people still get tested at Johns Memorial, or?
Anybody who wants to get tested can get tested, but at this point, it's probably going to be the test we send off that takes 2 to 3 to 4 days to come back.
Okay.
And it's a very accurate test, but that's the downside of it.
Yeah. So. How's, as far as you and the nurses and the staff at Johns Memorial Health Services, how's it going with protective equipment and stuff? Are you seeing a shortage, or?
No, I think we're doing pretty good. I think even, you know, when this all started back in March or so, we instituted measures right away to try to conserve what we have.
Okay.
And, you know, I think commercially they've caught up with manufacturing, and I think we're doing pretty good here. But we, you know, we don't know how long this is all going to last, so we're...
Right.
We're doing okay with that right now.
Yeah, that was my next question too. Do you see an end to this, or I think people are kind of burnt out, or I know you guys are, but do you see an end to this?
I do. I don't know if there's anybody who wants this to be over more than me, but there's probably is. It you know, the end is going to be, you know, the vaccine, and there's great news on that. There's a couple of vaccines that hopefully will be coming out within the next month that are 90% effective or 95% effective. But that initial folks that are getting vaccinated is going to be fairly selective. It's going to be frontline health workers.
Okay.
Probably those at higher risk. The general population probably won't be able to get the vaccine until, you know, late winter, early spring. Kind of, you know, we're talking about trying to vaccinate, you know, hundreds of millions of people in the U.S. and with the vaccines that are coming out, two doses. But that's going to be hopefully be the thing that gets us ahead of it. In the meantime, all we got is masks, distancing, stay out of clock crowd, wash your hands, all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. All right, real good, Dr. Shellstead. I just appreciate what you do and the nurses and your staff, Johns Memorial Health Services, and all the hospitals around the Minnesota and the country. Appreciate all you do for everyone.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. That's Dr. Eric Shellstead from Johnson Memorial Health Services, and this has been another Doc Talk here on Q92.